Blog Talk Radio.
Never give up, never give in, always look up, and God has a plan. Welcome to Conversations with a Diva, sponsored by WBDN Media, the By Design Network. I'm Sabrina Williams, and I will be your host. Hello from Las Vegas, Nevada. How are you guys tonight? Welcome to Conversations with a Diva. Today we're going to be talking about tennis and modeling. We have a special guest for you. He's a little late in calling in. But today we're going to talk about how, I mean, it takes a lot of work to get to be some of the 100 top male professionals in tennis, and talk about the men's pro tour that goes on. We all know about Roger Federer, and that's probably my favorite, and other ones. So what is tennis like? I'm not a tennis player, so I couldn't answer that. I've had tennis lessons once, I think, or twice. And I'll probably suck at it. But tennis is a hard sport. It takes a lot of work and a lot of dedication. I know that in Nevada, there are many different tennis clubs, No Quit, which is sixth in the nation, ATT, Turnberry. There's different clubs out there, but, well, actually, Turnberry's no more. But what we're going to talk about today, as we're waiting for our guest to call in, is what does it take to do tennis? Well, it takes dedication from a parent, if your child is. Hello, Lindale. How are you? Lindale, are you there? Lindale is waiting for him to come on the line. Lindale, can you hear us? Lindale, can you hear us? Well, we're going to have Lindale try a bit of call back in again. But as we're talking about tennis, Lindale, why don't you try calling back in, because we can't hear you on the phone. All right. Lindale, are you there? Well, he'll call back in. Well, anyway, as we talk about tennis, Lindale Johnson, that's going to be our special guest. And Lindale, he lives in Chicago. He's a fabulous young man. He's he has been on the runway as a model, too. So he's Lindale has done many. He's been featured in D/Office Threads, Men's Fashion Magazine, based in the United Kingdom. He's also on the cover of Chicago's Emerge magazine that just happened in November 2014, as well as he's been the next top model, Cycle 21. Lindale's been modeling for a long time. He's also played tennis and wants to play it on a professional level. Lindale?
Yeah.
Can you hear us?
Yep, this is, yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, good. So, Lindale, we're welcome to Conversation with Diva. We appreciate you calling in. And can you hear us now?
Problem. Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to talk about tennis, not just for you, but for what it takes to get back to the top of trying to be one of the top 100 pro professional tennis players. So, Lindale, we know you're from Chicago, and welcome again with Conversations with a Diva. And before we get started, we'd like to give a shout-out and a thank you for one of our top sponsors, which is Next Level Fitness, Coach Danny Bongiorno, which is in Las Vegas, Nevada, and Roy Jones Jr. Gym, which is also in Las Vegas, Nevada. But just know, when you go to Roy Jones Jr. Gym, they don't play with you. They make you actually do work, and it's hard. Shadow boxing is hard. All right, Lindale, young man, tell us what it's like to be a model first, and then now you're trying to reverse that to be a top tennis player. What's that like for you?
As a model, you know, there's actually a lot of pressure, especially with what I've been doing lately. Everyone just expects me to keep coming up with fashion shows and all these things going on. I know as a model that I've my personal life has been affected by this, you know, the fame and stuff like that being on the news. I've kind of put myself in somewhat of a shell just because, you know, it's really hard to know what people's true intentions are when they try to come into your life. I've noticed a lot of people from high school and just, you know, even strangers trying to reach me through my fan page, wanting to connect with me and stuff like that. So it's definitely taken a toll on me, but I'm not, you know, I haven't let that change who I am. I'm just more careful about who I put in my circle now. You know, there's that saying when they say, you know, keep your circle small and stuff like that. So I've definitely adhered to that for sure.
Yeah, and, you know, you keep your circle small, but it actually is really big. You just have to watch who you invite into it. You're right. Now, what do you mean about trusting people as far as in the industry? What has that been like? Have you had a positive or negative experience? Can you explain that to us?
You know, it's been all around. You know, unfortunately, in the industry for modeling, there's a lot of, you're going to go through a lot of, excuse my language, a lot of hell. I mean, I feel like, you know, people are just out there, you know, to benefit themselves, and they really don't kind of look out, they don't look out for, you know, real talent. There's a lot of agencies out here that, you know, charge a lot of money for people to do things that they claim that they'll do when they really don't do that. So you really have to be careful about that with the way that, you know, attack the modeling industry. So, yeah.
And I know that you work a lot with, you know, Joshua Banks from Scene Chicago and also the scenes that go throughout the, I think it's more than 10 states now, and he's been very instrumental in helping you get into, continue in the modeling industry. Can you tell us about how that works with you guys?
Well, we actually just connected probably a week ago, but, you know, he's been, you know, the front runner with Scene Chicago for quite some time now, and I'm really appreciative for his connection, and he's looking to, you know, have me involved in much more Scene Chicago events. You know, my first event coming up is Black Fashion Week, which is the first week of February, and, you know, I'll be the guest celebrity there, and of course there's pressure for that as well. You know, I don't want to come out there and not produce, you know, a high quality walk, you know, unless the other models end up walking better than me or something like that. I mean, you know, things like that go through my, you know, those thoughts go through my mind. So I just want to do a good job and really, you know, present, you know, a very excellent fashion show for everyone, you know, the public and stuff like that. You know, this event really has a lot of publicity, and there's a lot of very important people that will be attending and being in this event as well. I don't know if anyone knows this, but Boris Powell will actually be one of the featured designers for Black Fashion Week. He actually won an Oscar in 2011 for his Black Swan dress.
Awesome.
So I had a fitting with him a few weeks ago, and he invited me into his studio, and I got to see his loft, and he, you know, gave me some, you know, on hand, you know, in a, you know, he gave me some one-on-one, you know, tips, you know, when I showed him my walk and stuff, and he told me a couple little things I can work on and stuff like that. So I'm very excited about this. You know, there's going to be Reggie Wells is going to be there as well. He was the makeup artist for Destiny's Child when they were on tour, and also for Oprah's O magazine. So this definitely is a really big deal.
All right, that's awesome. And when we'll find out later how everybody can go look at your website or look you up on Facebook or Twitter and find out more. Now, tell us about tennis, because I know we've talked and I did an interview for you for the Urban Release magazine, and I had titled it The Best of Two Worlds, Tennis and Modeling Extraordinaire. Now, tell us about tennis and why you're now wanting to switch to make that your main thing to get back into. What's going on with that, Lindell?
Well, you know, it's very hard, you know, to keep all of these, as I would say, you know, kill two birds with one stone, or, you know, you don't want to put too many eggs in one basket. But I learned that the hard way last year. You know, I had so much stuff going on. You know, I had my own tennis academy in Chicago, and I used that to pay for pretty much, you know, all of my living expenses. And I had a lot of, you know, fashion shows and stuff like that, and I put tennis on the back burner So, of course, you know, I signed up for a pro tennis tournament in Wisconsin, and I really didn't do as well as I thought I would have done. It was a really good experience, but I've really, you know, let my ranking and, you know, my skills and then what they call in tennis your match play. Match play is very huge. You can be a great tennis player and have everything mentally and physically, your techniques can be great, but if you don't have that match play, you can go into a tournament and lose first round just because your match play isn't there. So, you know, that's extremely important. I can't stress enough how important that is. You know, I did go into that tournament expecting to at least, you know, play decently, but unfortunately the results that, you know, ended up being put on paper were not what I was hoping. I also entered the doubles as well, and we had some, you know, set points in that match as well, but my doubles partner ended up making some unforced errors during the set points, and we couldn't convert over and take the set. So it's just, you know, a really learning experience. A lot of hard work. People don't really understand it. You know, being a professional tennis player, you really don't get put in the spotlight unless you're in the Grand Slams or you're really, you know, pretty much in the top 100. You know, people start looking at you. So it takes a lot of hard work, to say the least, definitely.
Okay.
Some things I regret for tennis is not playing
enough
tournaments.
Hold on a second. I want to ask you a question. As far as the tennis, when you are you were saying that last year that you didn't get to focus as much. Was that because of money or was that because you were doing modeling?
It was because of modeling. You know, I was filming for Fox TV during the time, and I couldn't just leave town like that and enter a tournament because we were filming. Another thing, you know, the expenses kind of got out of control. They wanted me to go to Italy, and I didn't have enough funds saved up to go to Italy for the tournament. And another thing, you know, this, I really don't think this is fair, but the tournament director, I spoke with him, and he said he was only going to give me a wild card into the main draw if I booked their resort, which was going to add even more expenses to my trip to Italy. So I ended up just not doing the tournament. I don't think it was worth it. So that was another expense. But definitely the travel expenses, you know, we can pay up to $1,200 just for 1 week. And, you know, if I did enter a $10,000 tournament, the most money that I could ever pull from that would be about $1,200, and that would be making it to the finals and winning the finals. I know the first ladder stages of pro tennis, it's made to get your professional points. It's not really set up for you to make money. So we can be struggling for years and then finally, you know, break through and enter the challenger tournaments. And then from there, we'll move up to the ATP Tour when you really start making some substantial money. I know at the U.S.
Okay,
Open.
Hold on a second.
Sure.
I hear what you're saying, but I just have a couple of questions. I know that a couple of people had wanted me to ask. Now, on your sponsors, you're talking about raising money. Who are your sponsors that you have that are now starting to really get behind you as a tennis player?
Well, currently I'm sponsored by FIBA. I'm also sponsored by Forlows. And then I have another sponsor, which is Skin Again. It's the number one skincare in the world for natural skincare, and they're partnering with me for my fashion show, and they'll be helping with other things. I know Forlows will be helping me with a kids' tennis cancer program that's going to be in LA in February, so they're going to be donating some socks and stuff to whoever gets selected to get a lesson with me, and then the funds will go into the charity.
Oh, okay. And on the line, we have Elisha, and he likes to be called Eli DeVille, and he's my son, and he's very familiar with playing tennis, and he's trained by Coach Danny Buongiorno. That's like next level tennis. Hello, Eli. How are you? Oh, Eli was on
hold.
Sorry, Eli, we had you on hold. We didn't want to really hear from you, to tell you the truth. No, we're just lying. Eli, meet Lindell. Lindell, this is Eli. And Eli, we're talking about tennis. So, Lindell, can you tell us about the ATP Tour and what that's going to look like for you in the next 6 months?
Well, these guys, you know, they've been in it much longer than I have. I'm still pretty much new to this. I know that, you know, it's they have more power. So I'm going to have to get prepared for that. So I'm just going to be going to the gym a little bit more, add maybe an extra 10 or 15 miles an hour to my serve. You know, it's these guys.
And how would you go about doing that, to adding more kick to your serve and more power?
Well, there's a whole bunch of different things I can do at the gym. So I'm going to be working with my HP coach in Atlanta, and we're going to be going through some, you know, regimens and stuff like that at the gym to get me prepared for that. A lot of resistance training. I know that Novak Djokovic, he does a lot of stuff like that. He also has an air chamber that he uses also.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you play these tournaments around the world, you know, there's different altitudes, and it's really important that you're able to catch your breath quickly in between points. You don't want to look, you know, tired and fatigued through points like that. I mostly, the points usually only last maybe, it could last, you know, 3 to 5 rallies. You know, if you have a power player, they're usually trying to hit either an ace or a weak reply for your from their serve, and then do like a forehand winner or a backhand winner, something like that. It's normally called like a 1-2 punch. So
right.
I definitely will be on the lookout for that. So, you know, a lot of points do go pretty quickly on the ATP tour, just because their strokes are at the best. They have the best strokes in the world, and they're able to, you know, put force thought on their opponent. So I'll be ready for that for sure.
All right. Now, it sounds like you do believe that fitness is not just tennis fitness, but fitness in itself is important. What is, Eli, do you have some questions there for him?
No, nothing yet.
Okay. So what is your regular training regimen going to look like for you as far as, like, fitness when you're not on the court?
The off-court training is usually about 3 to 4 hours at the gym. I know it sounds like a lot, but it's just really, you know, planning your day at the gym, you know, and making sure that you're getting the right muscle groups taken care of, and stretching, and having some cool down time as well. So it's going to be a lot of upper body. Yeah, a lot of upper body. Say that again?
What does your leg and exercise program look like on any given day? Like, do you do legs all one day? Do you do upper body, lower body, or do you mix it up? What kind of things do you do?
I usually mix it up. Like, if we do, like, a Monday through Friday program, it's going to be, like, Mondays and Wednesdays would be legs, and, you know, Tuesdays and Thursdays would be the upper body, and then Friday would be core. So, and then, you know, the next week I'll switch it over, and then, you know, we'll switch over the Mondays and Wednesdays, just because it's important not to overwork your muscles. You know, there's a lot of, I know right now that Sloane Stephens, she actually works with one of the Clippers NBA players with their fitness coach. She has they kind of meet up different times throughout the month, and they all kind of work out together. So that's pretty cool. I had an opportunity to kind of, you know, go ahead and do that. But I'm just going to do my own thing. I'm really trying to just save money and be pretty frugal right now, just because this will probably be the most expensive thing I've ever done in my life. So,
right. Do you remember Arthur Ashe, and why do you think he was so successful as a player, and how did he change the game of tennis today for African Americans?
Well, he was very tactical. You know, I believe before him there was Althea Gibson.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
you know, during that era, she really, you know, took over the WTA and won Wimbledon and stuff like that. And, you know, then Arthur Ashe came, and then there was also, Gina as well. She was one of the captains for the women for Davis Cup. She was Gina. I believe her name is Gina Gibson or something like that.
Okay.
But no, for Arthur Ashe, you know, he was a very intelligent player, and he did a lot of stuff off court as well. So I really see him as an all-around guy, a philosopher, and he was a really good studier of the game. So he was able to, you know, win with a game that wasn't that wasn't common back then, and that's what made it so awesome. So, definitely inspiration.
Do you have some favorite players that are African American, Black Americans that play tennis, and how have those people present day influenced you?
I've been looking at Donald Young lately. Last summer, I actually played with Evan King's parents. He was actually in town. I believe he's in the top 500 right now. Donald Young is inside of the top 500, and then Evan King is inside of the top. What did I say that right now? Donald Young is inside of the top 100, and Evan King is in top of the, he's inside of the 500. So I ended up hitting his parents last summer in Chicago, and we just hung out a little bit, and we've been emailing a little bit. He was in China working on his ranking, and I haven't really gotten a hold of him lately, but I'm pretty sure he's off somewhere training or something like that. But no, definitely a big influence. You know, it's nice to see players like him, or like both of them, you know, kind of finally breaking through. I know a few years ago they put so much pressure on both of them to do so well, and they kind of had to kind of go, you know, in their own realm and just kind of, you know, take little steps on their own, and now they're successful tennis players, and it looks like I'll probably have to do the same thing as well. I actually hit with Evan King a few years ago in Kalamazoo during the Super Nationals, and he's a pretty good player. He was really consistent. He doesn't have a lot of power, you know, so when he goes against those big players, there's some problems, but yeah.
And, you know, Linda, I know this one thing about you that when I talk to you, and I'm just going to read what I wrote, the one quote that Lindell has shown us, that never giving up and always believing that God wants you to be successful is what makes your dreams come true. And you have a lot of tenacity. And where does that come from? How does your family help support you and your friends, not financially but mentally? How does that work for you?
You know, I'd have to give a lot of credit to my mom and a tennis coach from high school, and also, you know, my middle school athletic teacher, that my gym teacher from a long time ago. I've connected with her, and we go through Bible scriptures and stuff like that, and religion does play a big part in my life, and so does my staying, you know, in touch with my family and the people I mentioned. They really kind of support me a lot when I have any issues and stuff like that. And you honestly really do have to have faith. I mean, there's so much going on, and you can just easily translate that on court. You know, I mean, if you don't have confidence in your strokes, it's going to show, it's going to be obvious, and you won't be able to produce that shot that you once produced on the practice court because of your confidence. So that's a very huge factor.
Okay. And would you say that your experience from modeling has helped you on the tennis court to be able to handle the pressure of going for a couple of sets, maybe more than two, or a tiebreaker?
I will. I mean, it's funny. I'm on the front cover of Emerge magazine, and they actually asked me a similar question about if I was able to translate fashion and tennis together, and yes, it's true. An example for that would be, you know, runway. So, you know, you're on the runway, there's all these people looking at you, and you have to stay focused and produce and sell those clothes and, you know, stretch stuff and all that on the catwalk. So, you know, it's given me confidence on the court as well, because obviously there's an audience, you're at a tournament, you know, people can see you. So you have to just relax, you know, take a deep breath, and focus one point at a time, you know, one match at a time, and just handle your business.
Right. And real quick before we go on, we want to thank Scene Chicago for being another one of our sponsors. Scene Chicago is actually not just Scene Chicago, it's Scene Las Vegas, Houston, Detroit, and many others. You can also find them on my Facebook page at Sabrina Williams, and then in parentheses is the Diva. Also, thank you to Roy Jones Jr. Gym, again, for sponsoring us and letting me talk to all the boxers there. Lindell, where can people find you at social media?
I'm extremely active on Twitter. It helps me keep up to date about the other tennis players. They're usually on Twitter a few times throughout the week. I usually check it out at least once a day or more, just because I like to stay updated on different things like that. And sometimes I can get the inside news about something that really hasn't got released yet. So I try to stay on Twitter a little bit. You can just type in Lindell Johnson. That's my Twitter account. And I have that for all of my social media accounts. So once again, Twitter, it's just Lindell Johnson. Facebook is Lindell Johnson. My Instagram is Lindell Johnson also. I don't really follow many people back unless I meet them in person. Just because I don't want their news feed to be filled on my news feed when I'm trying to see what's going on with the people that I'm actually interested in. No offense personally, but that's something media manager have been talking about recently. So I've unfollowed like 500 people, but I know some people have that unfollow app, but I mean, it's no hard feelings. I don't want to be following that many people like that. So, yeah.
I understand. Now, you're also the CEO and owner of JHP Tennis Academy. Now, how can people get in contact with you? Because I know you do give tennis lessons and you do groups and individual. So, and I know that that's a way for you to generate income to reach the top as the ATP. Where can people reach you at for lessons and things in Chicago?
My website is actually connected to my Twitter account. It's just a bit.ly link. You just click on it and it'll go straight to my website. If you don't want to do that, you can just go ahead and go to lindelljohnson.weebly.com. In the next few weeks, the Weebly URL will be removed and it'll just be lindelljohnson.com. So if anyone wants to contact me, or if they have any questions about prices or all the other services I have on my website, you can just go to lindelljohnson.weebly.com or lindelljohnson.com. and they can reach me there.
And I also found it, why don't you talk a little bit about your deal with Thorless Footwear and why it's important for people to click on that link for you?
Can you say that again?
You have the Thorless Footwear where they click on your personal link, the www.thorlo.com/free.
Oh, my sponsors. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I actually just ended that program with them, but that was a 10%. That was actually a 10% player program that they gave me.
Okay.
So what happens is, they would order their Thorlows. They would get a free pair of Thorlows, and they'd have to pay for shipping. I think that was like about $3. The normal price for Thorlows is about $20, so it's a great deal. However, if they actually enjoy, wearing the socks and all the benefits that the socks give, the people that buy them, they'll go in and buy more socks, and I would get a 10%. I'd get a 10% benefit from whoever bought additional Thorlows from that additional free pair. So it would go into my tennis fundraiser. So, but that link is actually no more. I actually have some other things going on.
And did you want to give a quick 30-second shout-out to your sponsors real quick?
Oh, sure. I know one of the head moderators for their social media, his name is Thomas. I really appreciate him for all the things that he has done since our partnership in 2014. They actually just sent me a whole bunch of more socks for my upcoming tournaments, and I didn't even ask them to do that, so I really appreciate that. I actually talked to them about a few things that are outside of tennis, so not only do they support me with my tennis, but they also support me to a certain extent emotionally as well. If I have, some issues or something going on in my personal life or something that happened I want to talk to someone about, I can literally just, text them and they...
Hold on, Lindell.
Like,
Don't hang up yet. We want to say thank you for tuning in to Conversations with a Diva. Lindell and I are going to continue talking for a few more minutes, and you'll be able to find this into the archive at Blog Talk Radio under WBDN Media. This is Sabrina Williams. Thank you for tuning in to Conversations with a Diva. Tune in tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, where we will be talking about financial aid and how that kids can use sports and other Cal grants to get into college. Thank you for tuning in. Good night, everybody. Lindell's down the line.
Okay.
Okay, so this, Lindell, this keeps going for another few minutes. So is there anything that I didn't ask you that you want people to know as they go into the archives and listen to this? Because I think you're a great young man. You're a great role model for African-American young men and for people who want to strive to do different things, whether it's modeling, tennis, or being a professional. You exude all of those. Is there anything that I didn't ask you that you want to talk about?
You know, I'd like to talk about, you know, being your own person. You know, in high school, in elementary, a lot of kids, you know, the social peer pressure, all of that. You know, if someone's going to be rude and negative to you, I mean, you don't need to talk to them. You know, you can distance yourself from them. You know, I've learned a lot about law of attraction and, you know, the whole thing with the positive vibes, negative vibes. I mean, you can't, you know, like, it's exactly what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. says. You can't, like, if someone's negative, you can't get a positive out of a negative. You can't get a negative out of a positive. And he talks about, you know, there's no darkness. You can't get light from darkness. You can't get darkness from light. So you really have to stay positive. You know, I've had a lot of stuff that happened to me, some setbacks and unfortunate events, but I'm still here, you know, things are still happening for me. You just have to have that mindset. And it's so important, you know, not everyone has a strong mind to kind of just deflect, you know, negative things or stuff that happens in life. So my advice to anyone that's listening that's going through anything would be to definitely just stay positive. And, you know, if something unfortunate happens to you, you got to have faith and, you know, just, you know, block that and go ahead and just keep it moving, you know. I mean, as for a tennis player, you know, you might double fall, you know, and stuff like that. You know, you have to get that out of your head, you know. That's what the pros do so well, you know, double fault and then return right back around and hit an ace or a winner and stuff like that. So it's a lot of mental strategy that that's really important. So that would be some solid advice, I hope.
You know, and you're awesome. I know you have your tell us again a little bit about the black the modeling event that you have coming up.
Oh, Black Fashion Week USA, yeah, that's coming up so soon, and I feel so honored that they selected me to be, you know, the celebrity guest model for this show.
Right.
Of course, this is during Black this is during Black History Month. There's going to be a lot of dignitaries there, and it's just really, really exciting. So this is going to build towards my resume. I'll be in public again, and I just really am excited to do more things. So it's a great, it's definitely great. I just got a hold of the Steve Harvey Show, and hopefully I'll be able to do a small segment with him to promote Black Fashion Week, because it will be here in Chicago, and I'm not sure that a lot of people know about it. It's something new, and this is groundbreaking, and we're looking to build it and promote this and just build up from this with a solid foundation. We're looking for a great event.
One question I have for you, because you are a very handsome young man, what are your, I guess, for the better word, beauty techniques? What do you use to keep your skin looking fabulous and your hair is just awesome? What do you use? What would you offer young men out there or people who are really into really to the runway look and into looking really good with themselves as men? What would you offer? What are some products that you use?
Well, you know, I really don't want to give out that secret information, but I like to right now. Okay,
goodness.
So, you know, I'm actually friends with the owner of It's a Men's Fashion, and you can go on that website, and they have just loads of information for anyone that's in fashion, and even if you're not, if you're just a regular guy, you know, that just puts on a pair of jeans and a T-shirt out in public, there's tips for you guys as well. But I do know if there's anyone out there in the fashion industry, you can actually go to Sephora. It's an industry store. A lot of women go to that store, but they also have products for men. I feel like a lot of men are worried, oh, I'm masculine, I don't want to go into that girly store or stuff like that. They actually have men's products for men. They're specifically made for men. I actually use Peter Thomas Roth. It's a it's a sheer coverage. This is not makeup or anything. This is actually a moisturizer for your face, and it helps your face, you know, stay moisturized during the winter, and it gives you a slight little glow. I mean, you're not going to be shining like Kim Kardashian or anything like that, but it definitely helps with that. I know at Macy's they have an Origins department, and they have a whole line of men's products, and they actually offer free mini facials, so you can go there and get a weekly facial scrub, and they'll give you some free samples of stuff like that. There's a product called Save the Males, and that's for your beard. It helps keep down, you know, the redness. If you're more lighter skinned, it'll help keep down that redness from your from shaving, and you know, it'll help you not get razor bumps and stuff like that. So that's good for grooming your beard. And you know, they have a tonic that's made to keep all your face, your pores clear, stuff like that. So there's a lot of different things, you know, that you can go about that. But for me as a model, if I have to go on the runway, or, you know, like I had the Fox 32 News interview before that, I actually put on some Glam Glow. It's a youth mud, and, you know, I scrub that on my face, and it gets rid of all the dead skin cells and stuff like that, and it kind of resurfaces your face with the new cells. So, of course, I'm looking glowy, I'm looking refreshed, and according to people that have seen the interview, they said I look really nice. So that's something that I used before I went to the, you know, the news interview, and I just put on like a little tinted moisturizer. So, and then I put that the Peter Thomas Roth on, which is, that's not makeup at all. That's just a sheer cover. So, and that's all day. Just put that on for a little moisturizer. So yeah. As far as the hair, you know, a lot of men, African American men specifically, they usually have a fade and a short hairstyle, which is still in, you know. So you just make sure you wash your hair when you need to wash it, and go ahead and stop at the barber and get lined up. You know, don't go weeks without getting your hair cut and keeping your beard all wild and stuff. Just, you know, stay groomed. You know, I know, you know, being a gentleman never goes out of style. So I'm just, you know, be a gentleman. And to be a gentleman, you need to keep your grooming up as well. So that's some advice there.
All right, Mr. Lindell, you are awesome. Thank you for coming on. Again, you, ladies and gentlemen, look for him for Black Fashion Week. And also, Lindell is going to be coming back on again to talk more as Black Fashion Week occurs, to give us an update and invite us again, and also to just support him. And if you're an entrepreneur and you're looking for somebody to invest in that's going to be a great tennis player in the future, please contact Lindell. Good night, everybody. Ending Conversations with the Diva. Love you, Lindell. Thank you, young man.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.